You're just in time for today's Power Walk Ministries broadcast. A very happy Thanksgiving season to you. This week, Pastor Kennings brings a special Thanksgiving series titled A Matter of the Heart. But before we go into the message, we'd like to share with you a financial need we have. In order to be able to end the year in the black, our immediate need is $275,000. Would you prayerfully consider making a generous Thanksgiving gift to Power Walk Ministries? To do so, please log on to powerwalkministries.org or call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. You can also mail your check to P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. Please know that your gifts are tax deductible.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I pray that will come from your heart. Despite everything that is taking place, everything that's going on, it's been very difficult for many families. Pastoring, I had a front row seat view of the pain. I understand. And we have served many families, even many families that are not even a part of Living Word Fellowship Church. And we understand that. And I pray that from your heart, that in all things, in obedience to Scripture, you'll give God thanks.
And now let's join Pastor Kennings as he shares about Mary's undeterred love and worship for Jesus, encouraging us to submit everything to God. Here's Pastor Kennings now with the message, From Gratitude to Commitment.
This is the story of Mary. She was hopeless. She was beyond repair. She was so lost in despair. No one can comfort her. But then came Jesus. Not only did Jesus physically come to her, Jesus, the Bible says in lots of passages, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 21, Jesus Christ comes and he pours himself into our spirit through the Holy Spirit. And not just coming with a little bit at a time. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 7, it says the Holy Spirit is poured into us. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says we have all spiritual blessings. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 would say, we are just not in him. The Holy Spirit is in us. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says there are angels around us. And so we live in heavenly places, Paul would say. So, yeah, Mary had him physically there. We have him spiritually completely wrapping himself in us. And then we have the joy of the fact that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Could have gone to heaven, do what he wants to do. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Everything is through him, for him, and by him. But he chooses, because he knows Satan is coming to heaven day and night, like in the case of Job, he chooses to be our lawyer. That's where he's sitting, an intercessor, lawyer, fighting our case before God, telling God what we can bear, what we can't bear, since the Holy Spirit, who's our helper, is causing us each day to grow spiritually. So as God develops this work in us, because we're his workmanship in Christ Jesus, he develops us. And that's why we stopped there yesterday when we said, you know, we could look at the problem in the present. We could look at the future and what can go wrong. But we could sit back for a minute and remember his faithfulness. So in the midst of this, you know, you say, well, faithfulness, I'm still struggling financially. Been doing that for years. Yeah, but you've been struggling. You haven't been without a struggle in the sense that you could have not have anything and be on the street. You know, so we have to take a look at this from a perspective that many times, sometimes I miss. When I travel sometimes and I go to some very poor places around the world and I see what people are struggling with. One time I put both of my sons in the car and I said, okay, guys, we're going to take a ride. And I took them to a poor section of the city of Houston, and I said, don't complain. Don't look at the fact that we live in a neighborhood where there are houses that are large and big, not down the street, not our house, down the street. And because you go to that same school, people invite you to their house. And so they were getting a perspective that to me was off. So I said, son, okay, we may never be at that level. I'm not fighting for that level. I'm fighting for us to be a family. I'm fighting for my marriage to be good. I'm fighting for you to have a good father and mother. I'm fighting for us to be a family so that we live within our finances and we don't have to be stressed out over money because we're trying to live beyond our means to impress who? We need to learn to love God and love each other. So since that's your dad's perspective, jump in the car. We're going to take a ride. Because you've been invited to these homes and it's messing up your mind. So sometimes we lose perspective in how and what God has done. So that's where we stopped yesterday, but I want to jump into more of verse 3 of John chapter 12. When we look at Mary, Lazarus, and Martha, and the disciples are all there in this place, and I'm sure there are other guests there because Pharisees are mentioned later on in this passage of Scripture. Lazarus being raised from the dead is phenomenal in their minds because it was after 4 days, and Jesus Christ purposely did that. He had a 2-day journey that he made 4 days to come to Bethany from where he was. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. And boom, there he was. They believe that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. After 3 days, there's no hope. So Mary is hopeless when she's crying. And Jesus Christ comes and does something that has just blown the people's mind. That's why there's palm leaves being put down when he comes, because this is beyond anything we've ever seen from any prophet, from any person that has ever existed in the history of the Jewish nation. So this man is great. He is our king. We want him to lead us. Pharisees can't stand that, and they wanted to mess that up. So you have all of this going on, and Mary, in the midst of all of this confusion and all the happiness that is also taking place and all of the joy and gratitude and respect for Lazarus being raised, Mary is in the midst of all of that, doesn't reflect on none of it because her focus is on Christ. That's the next step we see in this, and how we manage when our emotions are all over the place. And don't forget, if you've lost loved ones, I've been there last year. As I said, starting out, I'm just glad it didn't happen this year. I've lost some dear people this year that, as a pastor, you see people hurt, and that hurts you, because I sincerely love the flock that God has called me to pastor. I just don't pastor them. I love them. When they hurt, I hurt. But in terms of family members, I said to God, God, you know, I thank you that in the midst of pastoring through a year like this, my brothers and sisters, even though there's issues that have popped up in terms of their health or whatever, you've kept us so far. So I understand, but Mary is going to teach us how we make it through those times. And we've come through several steps. It seems to be implicit, seems to be a part of what we should have automatically accepted, but I still want to say it. Mary, in the midst of all these distractions, is focused on one thing, you, Christ. My brother, thank you. My sister, great. She's serving, not complaining. Great. Pharisees, wow, impressive guys. But you know what, Jesus? You're it. I don't care you're at my house and I'm at your feet. I don't care that these men normally expect a woman to be in the kitchen. I don't care. That's their issue. I am with you. Nothing distracted her. Nothing. And that's why the Bible talk about this word, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix. It's like taking a huge beam and putting it as far into the ground as you can and can't be moved. You can't just pick it up and pull it out because it's too big a beam. You got to get a crane, and that crane is going to do some serious work to get it out because it's so deep, so cemented, it is hard to move. Fix. Established. Immovable. On Jesus, because there's so many distractions in life. And if you look back to the Old Testament, Abraham was fixed, got distracted, mess. Paul is going to tell us, I haven't gotten there yet, but I am pressing towards it. I'm running for that prize. Why? Why is there pressing? Why is there running? Why is there this concentrated, focused energy? Because we have so many things that distract us. Every moment of every day, you have to pray and ask God to get your mind back to focus on what you need to do. When you start looking at all the people that were successful and productive in Scripture and operating, they did not let life issues take them off of that. Daniel is one of my great examples, you know. Daniel, these folk talking about you behind your back on your job. Okay, go on and pray. Daniel, come on, man. You need to worship this other God. No, I'm going to go pray. Daniel, what about this food? No, they offered to idols. It violates the law. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, I have made up in my mind that the only person I'm doing is God. In the midst of being who we are, God has never challenged us to change our personality. He challenges us to change our character. So here's the next thing we learn from this passage of Scripture that is just makes me jump. She anointed the feet of Jesus. Okay, now, I could have just said that she poured the nard over his feet, you know. You have to see the contrast here, folks. Here's the contrast. In chapter 7 of Luke, the Pharisees don't do none of that. They don't wash his feet. They don't do anything. Then you have in John, later on in John, where he washes the disciples' feet. So obviously, this whole thing of washing feet is huge because it was expected in their culture. Yes. So at this particular point in time, there's several things that Mary is saying here. You are our honored guest, and I'm your slave. That's what she's saying. She's saying loud, ain't nobody wash your feet.
You, Jesus, everybody here thinks you just raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. You think Lazarus be washing your feet? You think Martha, since she wants to serve so much, will be washing your feet? No, nobody washes his feet. Mary is anointing it. Meaning, let's find some cuts here. Let me find if there are bruises here. She's spending time here. It's not just coming, okay, let me wash it down with this expensive perfume so it fills the room. No, please understand. She's saying a lot. She's saying, I'm your slave. I'm your servant. You tell me what to do. I don't care what these men think about where I should be. That's their problem. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to literally become the best foot massager you have ever had. And when you're done, you're not just going to have these stinky feet that are walking along this nasty road. And while you're eating, you will experience the perfume while you're eating. So while you're in here, Jesus Christ, you are experiencing the best meal ever. Because when you get up here, you could go serve healed, nurtured, and cared for. Because, Lord, that's what you gave me. Oh, you have to see this. Her heart, that's where we were after these few days, is that she wasn't just thanking him. She was committed to his journey. She was committed to what he was about, what his mission was about, what his focus was about. She was committed to his death. And Lord, I will do it again. I'm your slave because your gift to me is everything. Who you are to us is everything, Lord. She surrendered all to him, all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. That's what Mary is. And when I see him for all that he is, I'm glad to be his slave. Because there's nothing he's going to go do that wouldn't bless me. He loves me too much. There's nothing he's going to do that is not going to be great for his kingdom. He's always good. His loving kindness is everlasting. So when I serve this person who knows the numbers of hairs in my head, why think about myself? All to him I freely give. All to him I surrender. All. Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. It's easy to lose our footing when things go wrong and emotions go haywire. But choosing to fix our eyes on God will make all the difference in our lives. Now, for information about our ministry and resources, log on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or you can call us at 281-260-7402. And as we shared earlier, we're asking for your help in finishing out the year financially in the black. For your gift of $50 or more, we'll send you Pastor Canning's newest release, Disciples in the Making, along with the student manual. Thanks ahead of time for your support. Once again, our web address is powerwalkministries.org. Our phone is area 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. And now as we leave you, remember, our gratitude to God for all he has accomplished on the cross will be evident in a deeper commitment to love and serve him.